This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Those answers didn't come by Ouija board or by channeling. Just want to remind you of that. Go ahead, please, Jeff.
Yeah, that was it. It was just, yeah, a kind of a look at the cross-section of the way people have tried to communicate with spirits.
Fascinating. So at the same time, you have written one for, you know, about how people can go out and check things out for themselves. Picture yourself legend tripping your complete guide to finding UFOs, monsters, ghosts, and urban legends in your own backyard.
Oh, that book sold awful. It didn't do well at all. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, but it sounds like a, you know.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I'd like to be able to find them in my own backyard. How do we do that?
Yeah, so it was one of my favorite books that I ever wrote. I think it's one of my best books, and it sold, like, to my mom and, like, two friends. And the reason is, I think, because people weren't ready for the term legend tripping, and it wasn't descriptive enough of what it actually is. Legend tripping, to me, is hearing a great story. Like, we all heard this as kids, like the cursed headstone of the witch. If you knock three times at midnight, she'll come out and grab you. And you're at a sleepover with your buddies, and you sneak out of the house, and you go into the cemetery, and you're standing there, and you go ahead, do it. Knock on it. It's midnight. And you go, no, I don't really feel like it right now. So, you know, or like you're at the sleepover and you let's summon Bloody Mary. Let's light the candle and see Bloody Mary three times. And I don't care how much of a diehard skeptic you are. I've posed this before. Next time you're home alone, whatever your home is, apartment, whatever, home alone at night, shut the doors, turn off the light, light a candle, stand in front of a mirror, look at your own reflection and say it slowly, Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary, right? And you don't have to tell me. You can lie, whatever. Just to yourself, though, before you say it that third time, do you have one little moment inside of you that goes, oh, God, what if?
Yeah, but it's better than saying Beetlejuice three times.
Right. Oh, that's right. You're like, yeah, because you go, oh, no, what if that woman does leap out of the realm of the mirror and attacks me and scratches my face and like, and you blow the candle out, and you put the lights on and go, yeah, it's all BS, Jeff. You're full of it. Like, yeah.
Well, I know people that think mirrors are, you know, instruments of the occult and would be totally spooked. They wouldn't even think of doing that. They'd be like, no, are you nuts? Like, you know, forget it. They'll try and steal my soul.
What's great about that is that when you really look into a legend, you'll know why mirrors are tools of the occult and why they're dangerous. It goes all the way back to narcissists, right? This is the guy that was so vain, so incredibly vain, that he was on the ground and he looked at himself as a reflection in a puddle. And he fell so hopelessly in love with his reflection that he stayed there until he died. Right? Like, that's the narcissist. That's where we get the term, is from this
kind of extreme. Yeah. I think I've run into a few people like that.
But. Yeah. So that's where it comes from. The idea that you're so in love with yourself that you would rather just stare at your own wonderful reflection until you starve to death. You forget to eat. You're so in love.
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Right. And mirrors were very expensive at one point. They were hard to produce. If you broke one, it's 7 years bad luck. Because be careful. These things really cost a fortune. Not like today. You can get them for like a buck at the dollar store. But there was a time. So we've had all this mystique around the reflection and around the mirror. Jewish customs, right? During a funeral, you cover the mirrors. You know, this is because we don't want to be vain. There's so much power in the mirror because sometimes we look at it and we don't like what we see. So when you're really getting into legends, you just keep going back and say, how did it happen? How did we get here? And so legend tripping is all about that. Like I heard a weird story and I want to check it out and I want to figure out how it came to be.
That's pretty cool, actually. I really like the sound of that. Okay, real life ghost encounters. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. Yeah, that was called Our Haunted Lives, and that book was about, I tried my best to rip off the great Studs Terkel, who was prolific back in like the 1920s and 30s. He was a radio guy, and he wrote these books of interviews with people where he left in some of the pauses, and a lot of the way they use language, so like the ums and the and I don't know, man, I yeah, I just, okay. And then there it was, you know, like you leave it all in because I want you to hear the voice. So this was not quite transcripts. Think of them as cleaned up transcripts of people that have had profound ghost encounters. And I started with George Lutz, who lived in the Amityville house. And we spoke for hours about everything from the summer of 75 to moving into that house to moving out and everything that happened, you know, to him after that, and learning that the Jay Anson's book, Amityville Horror, was quite an exaggeration. The movies were gross exaggerations, but the stuff he described was really quite frightening. And I wanted you to hear his voice. And so you get to read all the words that he used. And that was my attempt to do that for everyone that I spoke to.
Is that one in an audiobook?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Oh, that'd make a good one by the sounds of it.
He's passed away, and I only have him on this old cassette tape when I interviewed him. I mean, like the old, you know, 90-minute Memorex, you know, which...
Oh, well.
Yeah. It's still in my basement somewhere, though.
Yeah, on cassette? Well, I mean, you can get them digitized nowadays. That would be pretty cool to hear some of that.
Yeah.
Okay, and of course, well, this is a classic. The Mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Whoa. Just want to say something, and we'll go on to the Bermuda Triangle. One of my friends back in the early 80s was Charles Berlitz, who wrote that book. Yeah. I haven't heard much about the triangle since then, so maybe you can bring us up to date on what you covered.
So I told you about Who's Haunting the White House was a children's book. My editor there went on to Penguin, the publisher, and she said, would you write this early reader book for us? So this is literally for like third graders. And the idea was to take a really cool subject that might entice some certain, you know, like basically the three of us when we were kids, the kind of book we would grab, you know. So I said that would be fun. So this breaks no new ground, admittedly. It's meant for very young people to get drawn into it, an interesting subject. But it was fun. I did talk to Bruce Gernon, who's the guy that had the missing time. He was flying in the plane from Bimini to Miami. Right. So I did get to interview him about what he experienced, his electric fog, I think is the term he uses.
Right, yeah.
So that was cool to talk to him about it. So yeah, but most of all, like, just so everyone's aware, that's a book to get for your second grader to learn how to read.
Yeah, but I think that's actually kind of cool because, I mean, there's all sorts of ways that we indoctrinate people into the world. Maybe let me put it this way. Why shouldn't we be able to introduce young people to the subject in a way that they find interesting?
Yeah, and it's very much, I mean, it's all aboard readers level two. I mean, like, not to brag, you know, but it was fun to do that. And writing for children is quite a challenge. It's way harder than writing for adults because you can kind of wax philosophic when you're writing for adults. You can go on tangents. With kids, you got to be focused on point and sharp, like succinct all the time. And so, I think it's a good lesson for any writer to kind of dabble in that on occasion.
But since you raised the subject of the Bermuda Triangle, even though it's for grade school kids, what is your perception? What's your opinion about it?
Yeah, so again, I look at it from all angles. You've got Hurricane Alley there. You've got a giant amount of water, dangerous ocean, and so on. You've got doldrums. You've got so many cultures and so on. So, of course, you question... Well, if we looked at any area on Earth that big and just looked for the tragedies, I'm sure we'd find a bunch. So I get that. However, there are a few that really, the Flight 19 one has always bothered me, that you had all these pilots, one with quite a bit of an experience, who couldn't figure out how to get back over land and ran out of gas or vanished.
And then they never really found, they think they found the plane, and then they go and check it out, and it's either, no, that's not it,
different
zero
plane,
numbers
yeah.
don't match. Yeah, so, and, yeah. and then there was a plane that went out looking for them afterwards to
it
find
up.
Them, and it disappeared.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. No, I know, yeah, so I remember that, yeah, and so there's a few that really, you scratch your head, like, how do you lose something that big? You know, so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's behind it, but I do know that I've been through the triangle. I've been, you know, I've been down to the Bahamas and I've been to Antigua and so on, and I've flown over it, you know, and at some point you are become conscious of it. You're like, huh, I'm in the Bermuda Triangle right now.
I wonder if I'm going to make it back.
Yeah. Right. We don't talk about the millions of people that pass through there every year and make it just fine. We talk about the exception.
Okay, now how about this one? Paranormal Encounters, a Look at the Evidence. Okay, what evidence did you come up with in this book?
Paranormal Encounters. I think that was a rebrand for libraries of a book I wrote called The Ghost Files. I think if that's the one you're looking at.
So we got a break, folks. To hate to interrupt, we've got more to come with Jeff, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
You know, there's live action in our home studios. Like someone was trying to vacuum the floor, and I said, you know what? The microphone picks that up. I can't hide that sound. Not spiritually. I can't bring in a ghost and do that. Let's go on with Jeff Belanger.
That would be great, because then you'd have people listening and saying, like, I hear it says, like, you know, listen to the Paracast, right? If you listen just right, you know. So that white noise, you could have played it up, but that's fine. You know, you do it your way, your show.
Okay, but is EVP really evidence? Let's talk a little bit about the evidence.
Okay. Yeah, so EVP. I can't even spell EVP. You know, I've tried. I've got the audio recorders. I've tried recording. I don't seem to get it. And one of the things I do understand is that humans have an ability to seek out and listen for the spoken word, human language. And as soon as you hear a human voice, it triggers the highest level of processing in your brain. So if you're in an airport and someone starts speaking Cantonese around you, the highest parts of your brain will get activated, assuming you don't speak Cantonese. I don't. Your brain will go, oh, these are words. This is human words. I need to listen. And then your brain will say, it's a language I don't understand. It'll then get pushed down into background noise because there's nothing you can do with the information. Or if it's words you do understand, maybe it's in English, you'll say, oh, what is this? And they'll say, like, oh, you know, be sure to check out our sale for coffee. And then you go, I don't care about that information. You push it back down. We are programmed from birth to find human voices and find and seek out words. The English language only has a small number of sounds that make up all of our words. So I think sometimes it's almost like looking for faces in the clouds, where I've heard some EVP where someone's like, you hear it went, I'm like, yeah, I heard that. It says, I'm going to kill you. I'm like, really? I don't hear that at all. I heard cheeseburger time. You know, I mean, I have no idea. That being said, once in a blue moon, I would hear something that's so clear that if you played it for 10 people individually and said, just tell me what this says, all 10 would agree. And that, assuming the person's not duping me, I wasn't there when it was recorded, that's pretty profound. But I've also had experience where someone sent me an EVP once that said, listen to this, it's Morse code. And I went, okay, so I brought it into a wave editor, and I said, yeah, you're darn right, it's Morse code. There it is, long dashes, short, you know, there it was. I brought up Google, and I brought up Google, and I put it in, dot, dot, dash, dot, whatever, you know, the whole thing. And the message was something like XR7J95, like something like that. But everything was a letter or a number in succession. And I went, well, what the heck is that? And I Googled it, and it turned out that was the transmitter beacon of a radio tower near the airport, less than a quarter mile from where this EVP was captured. Their audio recorder had picked up that signal very faintly in the back, and they heard perfect Morse code that was being transmitted from a radio tower. So these devices can pick up strange and floating around various radio waves. Anyway, so I do think sometimes maybe that's what's happening. Sometimes we're just trying to find a face in the cloud. But once in a while, I've heard a few where I'm like, wow, that is a direct response. And assuming you didn't have a friend whisper and I wasn't there to see it, that is really something. And it does make you wonder, maybe, just maybe, there's more to it than just the, you know, the strange static.
Okay, well, then, and of course, we've got the world's most haunted places. So this is a map or a travel guide or what are we?
Yeah, it was places from around the world that I've looked into over my career. I just think some of the best stories. And that was actually my first book. It's been done in second editions now and stuff. But it's the history, but combined with the personal experiences and so on of people that are there, like the Queen Mary and the catacombs of Paris, France, and the Tower of London, and the White House was in there. And so many of the kind of the famous ones. And that book first came out in 2004, and it's still in print, you know, 15 years later,
I think it's really cool. I mean, if I was going to go on a tour or a world trip, I've often thought that's exactly the kind of thing I would want to check out, is where these places are, and then write about them. Now, how did you travel to any of these places yourself?
Most of them, yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So you've been all over the place, eh?
I have. Australia, Africa, Europe, North America, South America. Yeah, I've been to most of them. Some I had to do remotely. I just couldn't afford to get there. But it's, I've incorporated the paranormal into my travels since I've been traveling. When I got out of college, I was working for a tech startup at one point, and they were sending me all over the world. They would send me to Paris, you know, for a business trip, and I was on a 5-star budget. This was during the tech boom. Between meetings, I'd have a few hours, and I would sneak off and go to the catacombs, and I'd write about it for my website. People are like, how do you afford to go to Paris to just write about the catacombs? And I'd say, I didn't spend a dime. You know, like I was there for something else, and I just ahead of time looked into what I wanted to see. And so I've been doing that since I was a teenager. So that's kind of like a bit of like life's work coming together.
Well, that's really actually pretty cool. So did you have any experiences? And maybe tell us a bit about some of your own if you've had some.
Yeah, sure. So the first time I saw a ghost was in the catacombs of Paris, France. And I was down there. It was about 11:30 in the morning. And the catacombs are really fascinating because Paris dates back like 2,000 years. It was a Roman outpost, and then it became a little town, and it grew and grew and grew. And they had all this limestone to build with. And over time, the city's in the way. So to get to the limestone, they start tunneling underneath, eventually like 300 kilometers of tunnels. And as the city is sprawling out, it's getting bigger and heavier and denser, and the buildings are getting taller. By the mid-1700s, the cemeteries, which were on the outskirts of town, which is where you put cemeteries when you build a town, eventually weren't the outskirts anymore, because over centuries, the city had just surrounded them and kept going. And so the cemeteries are full. There's no place left to bury the dead. Corpses are spilling into the street, and some of the buildings are starting to collapse because the ground underneath is hollow and from all the quarrying. So they're going to solve two problems. They're going to close these tunnels, and they're going to empty the cemeteries. And so they moved all the bones down there between like the mid-1700s to 1800s. The first time I went down there, I was completely alone. And I'm walking through these tunnels. I'm about 6'2". I had to duck in various spots to get by, and then other places it opens up. And then you go through this door that says, "Arrêtez ici, l'Empire de la Mort," which means stop. This is the Empire of the Dead. And as I walk through, I was greeted by 6 million human skeletons just all around me, just this macabre rows of skulls and bones in these very macabre setups. And there were signs that told you where the bones came from, like the cemetery, but there's no way to know who's who anymore. And I'm walking through a hallway that's, if I stuck my hands out in both directions, I would have been touching skulls with both fingertips. It's that narrow.
Wow.
And I'm walking down this long hallway, and suddenly I see a shadow the size of a man step out and go from the right side to the left and back, and I just froze. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You know, I know no one's down here with me because they would have bumped into me. They would have literally hit me. And then I think, okay, maybe there's a little side tunnel up there and someone just came in from there. But then I get closer and no, there's no side tunnel at all. It's just a long straightaway. And you think, okay, a little mouse could walk by a light on the ground and cast a great big shadow. And you're like, no, the lighting's at my shoulders. It's aiming down. I went through everything I thought it could possibly be. And I was left with just one word, and that's ghost. Or spirit.
Shadow person.
You have some words right now.
Yes, right.
And they're not from ghosts, I don't think. Jeff, Gene, Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Impeachment is again in the spotlight at both the White House and Capitol Hill. Democrats are reluctant to call what the House Judiciary Committee is starting an impeachment inquiry. Yet, President Trump tweets, You don't impeach presidents for doing a good, parentheses, great job.
I said it's hard to impeach somebody who didn't do anything wrong. The Mueller report is out. There's no collusion after 2.5 years. Think of it. How ridiculous. I collude with Russia. In fact, Russia said, you know, if we really did pick him, we made a real bad choice.
A son of the late Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden has been killed during an American counterterrorism strike in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region. Records show that Hamza bin Laden was being groomed to succeed his father. The confirmation coming from the White House a few days after the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, obviously the skeptics will say, why call it ghosts? You know,
because I don't have another word.
That's it.
I'm an English major. I'm a word guy, and I lack the lexicon to come up with another term for you for what it is I saw down there other than ghost, spirit, or shadow person. Take your pick.
Well, ghost implies, of course, someone who died is coming back as something or other.
Right. So I saw something, and that was the way out, so I had to keep going that way. And it's one of those things that it took days, weeks, months for that to fully process. You know, it's almost like a picture that you took, like the old Polaroids. You know, they don't develop right away. They take a few minutes. At that point, I was always this objective journalist. And then suddenly I lost some objectivity because I had an experience that I now believe to be a ghost. Up to that point, I'd interviewed hundreds of people then, thousands now. And I would say, you know, I believe that you believe. I wouldn't call you a liar. It's your experience. But I never quite had my own until that moment. And it was a game changer.
Well, that's how that goes. And even when we've had our own experiences, as I have as well, I can't point out at any specific person and say, okay, I know you're telling the truth. All I can think is reasonable enough to believe is that there are so many other people who seem to be sincere who say they've also had similar experiences, that I'd have to be going back to narcissists, completely narcissistic or self-absorbed to think that I'm the only one telling the truth. Other people must be having them as well. But the nature of this phenomenon is such that it doesn't leave us with any objective evidence to be able to prove it.
Yeah, you're right. And then we come down to, you know, we also have to remember the limitations of language, right? All human language has its limits. And those of us who are writers work our best to overcome them as much as we can, but we can only push the envelope so far. When someone experiences something, they have to use the words that they know to describe it. And that's something we as researchers have to understand, you know, that someone who does not have a robust vocabulary might say, you know, it was a haint, it was a ghost, it was, this, you know, whatever, a shade.
In medieval times and before, in ancient times, when they saw these things, strange things flying in the sky, they went down in the records then as, you know, I saw a flying shield over right. the river. And so we have, you know, a large disc with a raised center, and they called them flying shields. You know, today we call them flying saucers.
Yeah, yeah. And I always thought, one of my favorite Bible passages, of course, is the very descriptive the description of the wheels within the wheels, you know, the coming down from heaven.
Right, Ezekiel.
The Ezekiel ship, right? Ezekiel. That's what I was forgetting. So the Ezekiel ship is in the Bible, and I always had this thought that, like, and I've read the Bible, it's fascinating. You know, this story though sticks out in its description. It is so technical. It is so this long and that long and this face, and it moved within a wheel within a wheel, and there was fire and so on. And I always thought, man, if I could build a time machine, wouldn't it be awesome to go back? And I got to believe if we had time machines, that would be one of the things that people would want to see. And so you go back to the time in the land of Ezekiel, and you bring your ship down, and you're looking around for the Ezekiel ship, and you see this guy Ezekiel looking at you from across the valley, just writing notes and going, what the heck is that thing? And that's when you go, oh man, I'm the Ezekiel ship.
I mean, from their perspective, how else are they supposed to interpret it? They probably didn't really understand what technology was. Today we might look at, you know, faces around the outside of a circular flying object as some sort of windows or portals.
Yeah.
They actually tried to build a flying saucer back in the days when they were having all kinds of reports. The thing never flew very well, but it had a big circular jet motor right in the middle of a circular craft. You know, housing. So it sounds to me, when not like anything supernatural, it sounds like they're trying to describe in some ancient language some sort of technology that they've never experienced before.
That's right, and that's what all of us can do, right? We can just use the what's in our tool shed, like, to describe anything, whether it's a car accident or a UFO sighting or a ghost sighting or a Bigfoot sighting, whatever it is. We can only do our best to convey something that was profound and doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense to us at the time. You know, I've interviewed people enough over the years that I'm fortunate, because I do this so publicly, I've become kind of a magnet. Someone has an experience, they share their story with me rather quickly. Over time, the story is going to change. They do that. Sometimes people get laughed at enough times where if you ask them a year later about that experience again, they'll go, you know what, I think I was just mistaken, because I'm tired of being laughed at. So I've just sort of rewritten my own brain to say it was just a coincidence, I was overtired or whatever. Or it can go the other way, right? It's the classic fishing story. Yeah, the fish was, you know, 2 feet long, 3 feet long, 5 feet long. It just keeps growing. And they don't mean to. It doesn't make them bad people. It just means that when you're telling a story and you're getting someone's rapt attention, sometimes people can't help but embellish the parts that are getting the most attention and the most focus from the audience. We all do it to some degree. And so our challenge, again, as researchers, is to get those stories early and objectively, because they're going to change. And that's the best we can do, is like gather that data early on.
Now, one of the things that always occurs to me when we try to look at what people are seeing and the cultural influences. So, of course, in so-called biblical times, Ezekiel's wheels, in the Middle Ages, now the sci-fi culture. And the question would be then, if there's a UFO phenomenon 100 years from now, how would it be perceived? Does it grow and change according to our ability to describe it? That's kind of a weird situation, but...
Yeah, and we fit it into the context of our society, and then art reflects society, society reflects art. I think back to the 1980s, which we were all there. Remember all the large black wings that were being spotted, the black triangles being spotted in the sky all over the place. Later on, we would learn there's this thing called the stealth bomber. Suddenly, you know, all those sightings were probably legit. They were, maybe it doesn't describe all of them, but in many cases, maybe they saw a stealth bomber. that they weren't necessarily supposed to see, and the UFO narrative worked well for the U.S. government to cover up their new secret aircraft. In the 1980s, ghosts were not really in vogue. It was really all about extraterrestrials, and we had the movie E.T., and we had Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and we had all kinds of space movies because that was what was happening in the culture at the time. And then in a post-9/11 world, it's gone more spiritual and ghostly. It's all cyclical.
Then again, I always wonder here, how many people have these experiences and use it as an excuse to escape organized religion because it's not meeting their needs for whatever reason?
Yeah. And again, when I say story or legend, I don't want people to think I'm talking about pure fiction. I'm talking about the thing that takes over once something strange has happened somewhere. That's the part that I can kind of wrap my hands around, even if I can't prove the thing behind it. So what happens is we're always latching on to narratives. We're tribal people, you know, so we do that. We want to say like, well, I'm a UFO believer. That now becomes part of my identity. Or I'm a flat earther. That's now part of my identity. Or I'm a ghost investigator. I'm a ghost believer. And that changes who they perceive themselves to be, as opposed to just being the person they were before who just happened to have a profound experience. We live in a time where we're slapping constant labels on ourselves and others. And I think the internet plays a huge role in that, but it is a shame that we have to be so defined by the things we believe in as opposed to just who we are and our character.
We also have a polarized society. In this day and age, easy access to get online. We have the internet in our pockets, purses, everywhere we go. And that creates the climate where we find the stuff that meets our needs or beliefs. We go into this little bubble, and then they have this bubble, and they have that bubble, and the people in the various bubbles never get to see one another or appreciate their differences in beliefs. Now, I'll avoid the political aspects of what I just said, because every time we do raise something about politics here in the PowerCast, guess what happens? We get cards and letters from people saying, we don't want to hear about politics. And then we talk about UFO disclosure. And, of course, that's all political. So, basically, you can't win, no matter what we say. More to come with Jeff, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$50,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The bubble philosophy, the polarized society, how do we get true to that, Jeff Belanger?
You know, I think we just encourage people to have adventures, to connect, right? So to me, the paranormal is about connecting. It's about connecting with our past, with our present, with our own inevitable future, with each other. And if we can talk about that stuff, one of the things I discovered long ago when I started talking about ghosts in front of audiences is that if I were to go up in front of a group of people and I would say, let me tell you about my religion, everyone would squirm. They'd go, oh, no, please, please, please don't do that. It's going to be horrible. Even if we're the same, it's what are the chances we see eye to eye? But I could talk about ghosts, and suddenly I've broken it all down to like this least common denominator. I can talk about ghosts and I can say, look, if you are a skeptic and you cannot believe in ghosts, just appreciate the story. You know, light a campfire, toast a s'more, and appreciate the story. If you are a spiritual person, you can fit this into your own worldview or whatever. And that's what I love. When a story, when a ghost experience can talk about the elephant in the room, which is death, and then also kind of help us connect to this past and with each other, that's really a beautiful thing. And that's a wonderful thing. And that gets us out of our bubbles. We can all leave going, what a weird, strange, wonderful story. And I can relate to it in some way. And I get to keep it. That's the other thing. You get to keep it. You get to keep it and pass it on and tell it to others and let it become a part of you. I don't know. I know it sounds so altruistic and crazy and over the top, but I kind of believe that a good ghostly legend could save the world.
I find you to be another one of these really, like one of our other guests we've had on a couple of times, Morgan Knudsen from up here in Edmonton, another really positive person. I mean, your enthusiasm comes through. There's nothing dark and sinister about this. You really inspire in the way that you talk, the desire to go out and check out some more of this stuff for yourself and to learn and see a wider picture in the world. And I think it's really wonderful that you're doing that and that you have that particular kind of an attitude towards it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I've had some life-changing experiences, not just paranormal. 2 years ago, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, which was probably one of the most profound experiences of my life. And watching the sunrise from 18,500 feet at the rim of the volcano, the air so thin, you're just fighting for every breath. And I'd been hiking all night to get to that point. You know, we started at midnight just to get there for sunrise and try to get to the summit after 6 days of that. That moment, I thought about the Maasai people down in the valley. They say that that's the house of God at the top of Kilimanjaro, and only those deemed worthy can go up there. And at that moment, whether you're an atheist or not or whatever, man, I believed in God. I believed in spirits. I believed I was granted permission. I believed I was judged and deemed worthy. And I've never felt so connected to my planet and to my people as that moment right there, as I was fighting for every breath, you know, overlooking the Serengeti of Africa. It's so life-changing when you can push yourself, when you can put yourself into strange situations that force you to grow. You will come out better for it. And you don't have to go to Africa to make that happen. You can make that happen in your local graveyard. You can make that happen preserving a historic building. You can make it happen on a skywatch. I'm completely convinced. That's what it is all about for me. I want to know for me, because I, you know, and I'll pass along everything I learn, but I've got my own questions and I've found some answers along the way, but I still have a lot more questions and I'm hoping to find a lot more answers.
Do you think we will ever have answers to any of this? UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, you name it.
So ghosts, no. I think it's going to come down to faith and belief at some point. UFOs, I mean, if one lands and says, come on out, we're holding a press conference, I guess that's going to be as close to universally proven as possible. Bigfoot, if we ever really do find a true dead one or live one and are able to capture it and let people see it in a zoo, which would be horribly tragic, but then I guess that would sort of answer that question. My cryptozoology friends will tell you, you know, discoveries are being made. This turtle was discovered, what, last year that they thought was gone, the coelacanth, which is the example that comes up again and again. This fish thought to be extinct for millions of years is found in the South Pacific or something. And so sometimes new data does come in, and we just have to be open to allowing it to adjust our worldview. Blanket statement, no, I don't think we're ever going to prove the paranormal, but I do believe that there's a lot we can learn from exploring it.
Well, also consider the fact that what we might have regarded as paranormal 100 years ago is just part of nature, and maybe as we discover things, we'll discover answers. Maybe. But the other thing I say is, if we're being visited by ET, we could not recognize their technology, and therefore they put on an act, or we have to struggle and alter what we see to accept it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know until we get there. Right. This is a question I've posed. I mean, I've talked to various ufologists over the years for whatever interviews and things. If you knew, if you were in charge of the world and you knew for a fact the UFOs are here, the ETs here, would you tell everyone or would you not? Or would you keep it to yourself, knowing that it could cause great harm to a lot of people, that it would just kind of shake them up too much? And I know for me, I think I can safely say I would probably not tell people. I would probably think more of the good of the whole and say, I don't think people are ready for it. I think I would keep it to myself.
No, not me. I'd be like, it'd be all over the internet. And like, and I would not think of, you know, I wouldn't hold out for who's going to give me the most for the video either. It'd be like, no, I want to get it out there. But before we wrap here, I want to give you a chance to tell our listeners, if you've got any upcoming appearances or productions, you know, tell them a little bit about your 30-odd minutes show and that sort of
thing. Yeah. So 30-odd minutes actually stopped about 5 years ago, but it's but they're all still up there if you want to see them on YouTube for free. I do a weekly podcast called New England Legends. They're short. They're just 10 minutes. We tell a story. We've got voice actors and sound effects and music, and that's been super fun, and that's available for free wherever you get your podcasts. I do a show called New England Legends on Amazon Prime and PBS. If you're a Prime member, it's free. And as far as appearances in the fall, I've, between now and mid-November, I've got about 45 different events. So in October, it's every single night, sometimes twice a day. I'm speaking at libraries, at corporations, at paranormal conferences all the time. And my website has links to all of those things. I love this stuff. I love sharing it. And I appreciate getting the chance to share it with you guys. So thank you for listening.
Let me ask you a couple of quick questions before we let you go. Let you go out there and leave the building with Elvis. We're not talking about, by the way, the ghost of Elvis. I mean, that takes us a little bit too far. Okay. We're not going to do that. Do you have a family that has to endure your interest in the paranormal?
Yes. And they're awesome. My wife and daughter, we've had some really cool adventures over the years. They're not highly interested in this stuff, but this is my job. This is what I've been doing full time since 2004. They've gotten to do some really cool things. You know, I remember going to the Tower of London, and my wife and I got a private tour after hours, and we got to drink in the bar with the yeoman warders because I'd interviewed one for my book, and he invited us and got to see the changing of the keys. And I've gotten to see and experience and do some really amazing things because when you talk about this stuff, you're getting below the surface. You're not some cheesy tourist. You are getting into like some really real stuff. And when you come at it with a genuine point of view, you can really connect with people, and it's kind of magical. So not only do they tolerate it, they kind of embrace it, and we all have a pretty good time.
We have a pretty good time here too. If you want to see us on Twitter, go to the Paracast. We have to go on Facebook despite the concerns. We have two groups, communities, or whatever on Facebook. We also have a special feature of the show where you get the best of everything, and that's called the Paracast Plus. We offer a version of this show free of the network ads. That plus the After the Paracast podcast, where we continue interviews, where we present the weekly UFO sighting update from our expert, Mr. Puckett. Okay. And he's, by the way, an atmospheric scientist, so he knows how to separate the wheat from the chaff in terms of all these sightings. William Puckett's sighting update, feature on After the Paracast every week. You never know what else we're going to present. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. That will give you details on how you sign up, plus.theparacast.com. Jeff Belanger, let's not make it 12 years before we see you again. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.